They probably but they're pretty selective. I mean, you know, I was pretty good.
You know.
Are you guys ready? Okay. John, right? Oh, is it okay? Senate will come back in session, back in order. The next section of the Section 2 budget that we're going to be covering is the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll move Section 24, Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources. Turn it over to Senator Townsend for explanation.
Okay.
If he's here, but if he's not going to be here. He decided to go home and take a nap. What? I'll tell you while, Mr. Chairman, let me talk about a couple things while Senator Townsend's getting over there. A couple things. With respect to Senator, the President, you asked about the two positions that we added in the Division of Banking. The testimony there is that the fees for state banks for examination are 40% less than their federal counterparts. And the Office of Comptroller of Currency, FDIC, and Federal Reserve have all stepped up their examinations significantly. The consequences are we're seeing a couple things. One is a rash of banks going over to becoming state chartered. And in addition, just to the other concerns that are coming out of the subprime lending, things like that, the state examiner believed that he needed to step up the number of examinations, asked for four positions, two were granted. Remember, too, those are all special revenues. Those are paid for out of fees collected by banks. So, in effect, we are raising their fees to pay for the two examiners, but I think the testimony was compelling that given the number of migration of state banks into federal banks, or federal banks into state banks, and the additional issues arising out of the subprime market, that warranted the two positions that are non-general fund. Other questions with respect to, I know we had a lot of discussion in A&I about the personnel issues, human resources. I'm told that partly to address a lot of these issues, that there will be new personnel rules issued in the next couple weeks. If you're interested in this area, you may look at it, because in some instances, it'll make the job easier, but they're also going to begin tightening down. Reclassifications are generally intended for new job positions. They're not intended to take the same job and give you more pay just because you want to get a higher pay. The A&I is going to go out for a new contract to try to develop better market data for job comparators. Right now we're comparing with a 12-state region. There's some sense that maybe we ought to begin to look at other more Wyoming-specific job classifications to get better analysis in order to make their job better, easier, and get closer to real comparator markets. So that study should help. And finally, I think when the new director of ANI is, and with these rules, that is, they begin to look at jobs that not necessarily will they take the external cost adjustment, the COLA, and apply it all jobs. If your job is redlined within that group, the notion is that perhaps you should not get the COLA, that ought to go to other employees who are not redlined by your job classification. So there will be some impact by these new personnel rules, and if it's of interest to you, that'd be worthwhile to take a look at that. With that, Mr. Chairman, I do move Section 24, Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources, and turn it over to Senator Townsend for explanation.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you. The Section 024, Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources, was reduced by the JAC from the governor's recommendation. The governor, in order to understand this fully for me, I really need to read both of the descriptions. In the cheat sheet, we say that JAC reduced by $1.5 million the general fund of the governor's recommendation of $3 million at general fund for their cultural trust fund, leaving $1.5 million for that purpose.
Good addition.
The footnote was included to specify the purpose of the funding and to clarify that it was a one-time appropriation. So what we ended up, the governor recommended $3 million, the JAC lowered it to $1.5 million, and then included in that it would only be a one-time funding, so they'd have to come back with next budget for more. We also reduced by $438 or $142 general fund for historic context development, one half the agent's exception request of $876. And that was recommended by the governor, and we added a footnote requiring the matching funds from non-state sources. Thank you. Sound like the vice president. Any questions?
Any discussion on that section of the budget? Seeing none, all those in favor? Mr. President.
Yeah, you added a position. What was that for? Position added.
Mr. President,
Senator Townsend.
Yes, I don't recall that in my data, but as soon as I find it, I'll let you know.
Any further discussion on that particular part of the budget, or any further information on that one additional position? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 24, Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources budget, pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. That section is passed. We're on to Section 25, Department of Employment. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Section 25, Department of Employment, and turn it over to Senator Peterson for explanation.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Department of Employment, basically, just a brief overview, is a pretty standard budget, but the Department of Employment oversees enforcement benefits and collections as in regards to employees and employers. Fiscal year 2009-2010 Department of Employment budget recommended by the JAC is $83,704,777. Out of that, 71% are federal funds, or other funds, excuse me, and 24% of that is federal funds, and out of the general funds is 5% is how the department is funded. As far as the different departments within this division, the administration and support has 9 employees. Out of that is a budget of $1.9 million. Division of Labor and Standards, out of this division, they have a budget of $2.1 million, and it supports 12 employees. Worker Safety and Compensation, this budget is $51 million. This is the large portion of this department, and it supports 169 employees. Basically, Mr. Chairman, there was no increase in employees. As you see on page 18, 322 employees in this division. There was no increase. There was no exception requests, and the budget stands at $83,704,777, and I would stand for questions.
Senator Bebop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question about the actuarial soundness of the workers' comp fund itself. It's very actuarially sound, in my opinion. Was there any discussion when you talked to some of the people from there about giving employers some relief on the premiums we're paying, or do they feel like we should continue at the present rate we are and try to build that fund up a little bit more?
Senator Scott.
I can't tell you about discussion within the Appropriations Committee. There was discussion within Committee 10. The result was a bill which went down on the other side on introduction. So we need to do some of that. We probably also in the workers' comp area need to look at some of the benefits, particularly the death benefit. But yes, it is. Now, right now the actuaries say it's actuarially sound, but that does seem to bounce around depending on which actuary you talk to and which one does the opinion. But it does seem like there's an opportunity there. The method that they wanted to use weren't going to do because of the action that did happen. But that is something we need to take a good hard look at because the opportunity is clearly there.
Any further discussion on this part of the bill? Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another question on workers' comp funding. There's been a lot of discussion about the division having a major reserve, and I'm not sure that that's quite accurate, and just want to get an understanding of the amount of money that they have and their reserve amount, or is it not a reserve, or is it money that is obligated otherwise based on future needs.
Further discussions? Anyone to address that question? Senator Scott.
Chairman, and again, I'm not privy to any discussion that appropriations had, but recalling the discussions we've had in Committee 10, now there is a break in its constitutionally protected, as I remember, fund that is designed to pay the costs of future claims so that we're collecting, at the time the accident happens, we're collecting enough premium to pay those costs. If you don't, when your economy goes down and your collections therefore go down because it's based on wages, you get in real trouble because you're sticking the remaining employers for the costs of ones that have left. And we're running a big insurance company and we've got a comparable reserve. The place where there still may be some difficulty, in my judgment, is that if you were to have a major industrial accident that injured a lot of workers, explosion at a mine or a refinery or something like that, where you're dealing with some very volatile things, that you can have a catastrophe. Now, fortunately, we have not had that happen. We're taking, I think, very good safety precautions to prevent it, but the experience of human affairs over the years has been that you do sometimes have these accidents. And if that should happen, we have not built up a reserve fund that's probably adequate to fully handle that and meet all our other obligations. And that would cause us a unsoundness in our workers' comp fund for a while we recovered from one of those. And there was some discussion, should we buy some kind of fancy insurance? And the feeling was that no, that would be an additional expense, that it was a risk we could run because this is a state-run fund and we can get it made up from future premiums in a way that a private organization could not do so. So we are running, Mr. Chairman, some risks there if that's what the good senator was referring to. I don't think they're very great, but there is a risk there.
Okay, further discussion on this particular part. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I did have just a couple questions just about the general administration of workers' comp, if there was any discussion in the Appropriations Committee. with regard to a couple of items. One was the timeliness of claims and the response to the claims, how well we are in our accomplishing and administering and making the determination with respect to a claim. Two is if anybody had any kind of information with respect to the number of claims that are upheld when they go to contested case hearing. So out of you know the number of cases that there's objections to the department's determination, how many of those are upheld in after hearing? And the third one would be just with respect to if there are vacancies and how we're doing with respect to staffing of the claims representatives in the Department of Workers' Compensation and Safety.
Any discussion on that? Any discussion on that part? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, well, maybe the Appropriations Committee is getting some more accurate information. One of the factors that causes complaints about time to settle workers' comp cases is that when you do have a contested case, that can delay the settlement. So you get much quicker action if, frankly, the employer and the employee agree as to what happened and there isn't a contested case, which is a common situation, and a great deal of more delay. There's a fair backlog at the Medical Commission. I know they've been working on it. I think there's also a backlog in the Office of Administrative Hearings. Sometimes that is caused not by the office, but by the attorneys for the contesting parties requesting continuances and delays. But I think that's where the majority of the problem is, but the Appropriations Committee may have heard more recent things.
Okay, we are talking about the budget for the Department of Employment. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't recall that discussion to all those three questions as far as delays and reserve account and plan for employer relief, but I can certainly find that information out and bring that back, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In some of the discussion that we had around Committee 10 and through the interim, that some of those questions did come up, and the department itself indicated that the case analyst had a workload, and the number was around 360 some cases per analyst, and that was found to be about twice the national average of what typical case analysts are. And you know, we can certainly have a lot of discussion about, you know, contested cases and who's contesting the cases and whether the employer is actually the one that's contesting the cases or if it's coming, you know, right from the division.
Any further discussion on the Department of Employment's budget? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 25 Department of Employment budget pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed, nay. Section 25 passes Committee of the Whole. The next section is 26, Department of Workforce Services. Senator Nicholas.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to go back to the State Parks and Cultural Resources. A question was asked about why a position was added into the Cultural Resources. That went in for the Wyoming Arts Council staff. They had asked for four positions because they are losing their funding or through the grants through the National Endowment of the Arts. And the governor recommended and we agreed to fund only one position of the positions. It wasn't clear they were going to lose all their funding, but it looked like some of those positions were revenue was being lost, and we agreed to the one position increase. Mr. Chairman, I then move Section 26, Department of Workforce Services. It's at page 819 of your budget bill. The Workforce Services preparation. One of the things that we do have those Workforce Service grants that are being administered, of which incidentally, we made a $4 million become effective immediately to $650,000 to be made effective immediately out of the Workforce Development Training Funds. for the biennium with the effective immediately, there's $7.6 million for the workforce services. We had a lot of discussion with respect to whether or not those workforce services grants that we're putting out there for companies to come in and utilize these dollars to train their staff, whether those dollars were being somehow regulated or whether or not it was just on a first-come, first-served basis. It was, I think, our conclusion after listening to it is one of those things, the money's there. Companies may have found that they can successfully use these, access these dollars to train their own workforce for some dollars that they're essentially displacing their normal expected workforce training dollars by shifting it to the state. Where I think that what we were really looking for as a legislature was to have these dollars available to bring in new companies, to where a company looks like they're going to have a financial change in their market and they need to retrain their employees. But what is clear is we're burning through this at a rate of about $650,000 a quarter. It does appear to be more of a first-come, first-served process. So that if you're the first person to get in, even though there may be a better candidate that's sitting there and will apply 2 months later, the first person to the pool of money gets it first. So we added in a footnote that we would hope to address that, and that's the footnote 2 that says the department shall develop policies to ensure that the funds appropriated for the business training and outreach program are distributed on a prioritized need basis. So we could start to get a handle on it. As you can see above there, footnote 1 makes effective immediately $650,000. That was of some concern because you're taking a next year appropriation and using a substantial component of it for this year, but we addressed that through the footnote. Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for questions.
Any questions? Department of Workforce Service budget? Senator Perkins.
And with respect to footnote number 2, I had a question with respect to if there was any guidance or direction that the department or the appropriations committee had with respect to what those needs or how the department would prioritize those in determining who got the grants.
You're talking about the grants?
Yes.
Senator Nicholas.
The answer, we didn't give them. We just wanted the – actually, I think the answer to that – we had a lot of opinions ourselves, but that's really what the rulemaking process needs to go into is what, how to do that. And I think the only guidance that we gave to them is I don't think that this fund was intended for companies essentially to have an ongoing on-the-job training and displace those costs to the state. We're looking for things that are extraordinary, things that are economic development oriented, although having recognized that a component of this is also to help employees train themselves if they can get into a new job classification that increase their salary, that's fine too. So you kind of look at the orientation from trying to improve employees for companies trying to stay in business, those types of priorities, but not simply for a company to use the state of Wyoming to pay for its continuing education that they ought to do as a routine basis.
Any further discussion on this budget? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 26, Department of Workforce Services, pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That section passes. We're on Section 27, School Facilities Commission. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 27, School Facilities Commission. Turn it over to Senator Meyer for explanation.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had a great deal of discussion with the School Facilities Commission. A lot of it, as you can well imagine, kind of centered around the kind of job they were doing and a lot of the stuff that we talked about in the last couple of days as far as buildings. Now, this particular budget, however, Mr. Chairman, deals with the general operations. The employees stay the same. There's 17 full-time employees. It doesn't show up on the budget, but there's 3 AWACS also, and all of those numbers stay the same. Major maintenance, it took a fairly substantial inflation increase. That inflation increase is based on WS 21-15-109, which sets forth the formula that the School Facilities Commission use and calculating major maintenance and repairs on school buildings and facilities. So that's statutory. The JAC put $3 million in there, and there's a footnote on that about how that $3 million is to be used. Basically, in the areas where you have buildings that are situated on existing roads and utilities and how you're going to hook those up. I have talked to the chairman of the Joint Education Committee, and we're going to make sure that, that this footnote, there isn't any duplication, and it corresponds to perhaps, I think it was Senate File 22. If there's any overlap on that, we'll try to address that with an amendment. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would hope for favorable consideration on the School Facilities Commission. Thank you.
Any discussion on the commission? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 27, School Facilities Commission budget, pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That section is passed. Section 29, Wyoming Water Development Office. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 29, Wyoming Water Development Office, and turn it over to Senator Joe for explanation.
Senator Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Wyoming Water Development Office is the agency that works most with our Select Water Committee, and we made no changes to the governor's recommendations on there, so they have an administrative budget of $7,728,413. We did not add in any personnel, and I know one of the big questions is how much money did we put into the water accounts, and that comes later in the Section 300s in the budget balancer. The answer is there were, I think, $10 million went into Water 2 and about $24.5 into Water 3.
Any discussion on this part of the budget? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 29 Wyoming Water Development Office budget pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That section is passed. Senator Nicholas, I assume you want to explain the Infrastructure Authority next.
Mr. Chairman, the explanation for the Infrastructure Authority is the same. Actually, I had that for Senator Peterson, but he's going to get off the hook. Unless you, it's a Section 300. It's a loan. And instead of a, so you won't find it in your budget bill unless you go to Section 300. But I didn't mean to preempt you. If you had a great explanation, go for it.
Proceed, Senator Nicholas.
So, nothing to, so then the next item to be considered is Section 37, which is the state engineer. And I'll explain that. We added about $8,900 for computer software for the governor, and other than that, the it's uneventful. But I have there were a couple positions added in this, and right now I can't recall what they are. I'm going to stand for questions, and then I'll see if I can find those positions.
Any discussion on this section of the budget? Senator Nicholas, did you want to provide that information on second reading?
Yeah, I'll do it later.
Okay, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 37, the State Engineer Budget, pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. That section is passed. We're now on Section 39, Wyoming, the Wildlife Natural Resources Trust.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 39, Wildlife Natural Resources Trust. Turn it over to Senator Meyer for explanation.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Wildlife Natural Resources Trust had a colorful trip through the Appropriations Committee. We kind of kept this toward the end of the committee so we could do a little bit of budget balancing. The balances jumped up and down, and they kind of lit where they are right now. The base budget started out at $51,050,000. The standard budget went down to $1,884,492. The governor added $50 million to it, and it ended up a little bit less than that. We're down to the $40,336,000. We reduced by $2 million the governor's recommendation for $7 million in the project funding, leaving $5 million in general funds, and another $5,152,000 in other funds for those purposes, and we reduced by $13.5 million the governor's recommendation of $43 million of general fund into the trust account. So the project trust projects is a little over $10 million. And the corpus grew by $29.5 million. We actually found some AML funds that we had some backfill dollars that were going to backfill some AML projects, and we felt more comfortable with that, and we were able to increase the funding back later on in that day. So this is where we're at on it. It's a good program. I think the committee tried to get as much into it as we felt we could, looking at the different constraints that we had, and would stand for any questions.
Any questions on the Wildlife Natural Resources Trust? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, on the projects where you reduced them from, I believe, seven to five, how does the $5 million compare? What was the funding for these projects for the last, not last biennium, but for the last fiscal year, the second fiscal year of the current biennium?
Any other discussion? Any other questions? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The base budget, which is probably what they had last year, was $5,200,000. The standard budget was actually reduced by $4 million. So the agency's standard budget that they came with was $1,200,000. They had an exception request to the governor's office of $3,952,500. So the total agency request was $5,152,500. So just about what the base budget was, a little bit less. So basically, when it came out of JAC, it was almost twice as much as what the agency wanted, and almost twice as much as what they spent the year or prior year before.
Any further discussion on this section of the budget? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 39 Wildlife Natural Resources Trust Fund budget pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. That section of the budget has passed. We're now at Section 40, Game and Fish Commission. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 40 to the budget, Game and Fish Commission, and turn it over to Senator Jobe for explanation.
Senator Jobe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Usually the Game and Fish Commission is self-sufficient, but recognizing that hunter's fees and fishermen's fees is not going to support all the non-game species, we will now be putting $10.8 million into four programs in the Game and Fish Commission, and that's general fund money. It'll go into veterinary services program, which covers the brucellosis and the chronic wasting disease, the sage-grouse planning and protection program, the comprehensive wildlife conservation strategy, which is our attempt to manage our sensitive species and not get them listed where we'd lose control, and the wolf management program, which is a new program. What we did to this budget request was we added a footnote specifying that $500,000 of the general fund for demonstration projects in the sage-grouse would be effective immediately, and that's at the request of that implementation team. We added $609,000 in general fund to the governor's recommendation for the comprehensive wildlife conservation strategy efforts. There was already $1.2 million at the governor's recommendation in the budget for this purpose, but this allowed them only to do existing efforts. The $609,000 would add, let them expand just a little bit and take in some more species. There's also, that's not the full picture either. The governor in his budget, in his office budget, has $1.6 million also for management of sensitive species, hoping to coordinate and collaborate with the Game and Fish. And then there is $2.475 million effective immediately for the wolf management program, and that, of course, is a brand new program. The original request on that was $4.46 million. The governor gave them $2.475, and so it's very likely that that one would come back in a supplemental budget session, depending on how all our negotiations with the feds go. Mr. Chairman, I would answer any questions.
Any discussion on the commission budget? Senator Coe.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you. My recollection is that this is the first time we've actually had a section in our budget with Game and Fish. And I think I'm right there. I could be wrong. But how much scrutiny does Joint Appropriations give to Game and Fish when they come in front of you as it relates to the balance of the rest of their budget before you make decisions on how you're going to spend money with them?
Senator Job.
Mr. Chairman, it's been my experience that we give them the same scrutiny on that portion of the budget that we don't really have control over. We give them the same scrutiny as any other agency. And in fact, because our fishing and hunting and wildlife is such a big issue, generally we have very long conversations with them. And even though this is the first time general fund money goes into operations of programs, in the last 2 or 3 years, and I'm not quite sure, we have helped them out on capital construction projects. And so money has gone in there one time to help some fisheries out, and I can't remember what else, but we have helped them there significantly.
Further discussion of this budget. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess this is an interesting budget to hear with putting in new general fund dollars that weren't previously there. And I think there was a consensus that the bill that came through last year had general support for putting in some of these non-game programs that the hunters feel like they shouldn't support and fund them. And we know that there has been a decrease in revenues to the Game and Fish because of license numbers, reductions, just general number of animals. If the floor doesn't agree with us, then this is an area that that deserves scrutiny.
Further discussion on this part of the budget? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 40 Game and Fish Commission budget pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Okay. That section is passed. We're on to Section 41, Fire Prevention. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I do want to clarify, we're benefited because we got people that are smarter than us that are here. Our staff advises that we did put $4 million into the vet services program for brucellosis and the sage grass planting project for the last biennium. So there was Game and Fish General Fund. We did increase it, and I think the Game and Fish generally came back asking for the general fund to the tune of what was in the budget or that bill that died last year. Mr. Chairman, I do want to go back and talk about the state engineer for a moment. As I explained, there were four new positions, one of which was a conversion of two AWACs to a single position, so that was revenue neutral. The positions came in the groundwater division, two of them for both for strategic plans for coal bed methane to really watch the coal bed methane issues. Two positions there. One position was in the Board of Control, where they converted two part-time positions into a full-time, believing that the full-time position would be more efficient than the two part-times. We agreed. And then we added a coal bed natural gas reservoir groundwater inspector to begin looking at those positions. So the three net jobs were all related to groundwater coal bed methane discharges. And we concluded that those new positions would warrant it. With that, Mr. Chairman, I move the Section 41, Fire Protection, and turn it over to Senator Townsend for explanation.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The except in 041 fire prevention, the JAC made no changes in the governor's recommendations. Interesting of note, though, the governor did deny the fire prevention $1,796,000 from the general fund for the training facilities all around the state that they had asked for in their budget, which left a budget of $7,176,454 in general funds, $519.28 in special reserve or in a special revenue funds, for a total of $7,695,000 for programs of fire prevention administration, electrical safety administration, training, and the expense of the fire academy in Riverton. Questions?
Any discussion on that part of the budget? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 41 fire prevention budget pass committee of the whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. That section is passed. We're in Section 42, geological survey. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 42, geologic survey. It's at page 24 of your budget bill and page 8 of your cheat sheet. I turn it over to Senator Peterson for explanation.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Geological survey. The JAC, basically pretty standard budget. JAC did one action, and that was move the governor's recommendation for the $1.2 million for the one AWAC position for the looking into the new clean coal and carbon sequestration efforts. You'll find that in Section 321, which deals with the AML funds that we'll receive. Basically, no increase in employees. The budget remains at $5,547,970. I am sad to report, Mr. Chairman, that once again, under this survey, the approval of the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory did not pass, and so we'll have to fall back to Plan B, which is primarily falls on the shoulders of our Park County senator, who is now gone, to be our first line of defense if Yellowstone goes.
Okay. Anything further on the geological survey? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Scott.
Chairman, could we get a little explanation of what that volcano observatory thing was that you didn't fund and why the decision was made not to fund it?
Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, I think this has come up before. This is the second year that, at least that I've been involved in appropriations, that it has come up to our committee and as a proposal, but it's basically a team-up effort with the University of Utah, I believe, to put in more monitors around the park in Yellowstone and to retrieve more critical data that's necessary to keep an eye on the situations of that's happening in the park. And so it's basically, I think, covering the cost of those monitors and retrieving that data. I don't remember or don't recall the number of additional monitors they were asking, but that's basically the expense that they were asking us to cover.
Anything further on monitoring the annihilation of Northwest Wyoming? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 42 geological survey budget pass committee of the whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. That section is passed. Section 44, Insurance Department. Senator Nicholas.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you'll recall that the Senate came up with their own early warning system last year, and Senator Coe is going to call us as he's going over the top of us. So we didn't need that. Mr. Chairman, I'd move Section 44, the Budget Insurance Department, and turn it over to Senator Meyer for explanation.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, first of all, for our esteemed president, it's 27 on the employees and stayed at 27, so we don't have to worry about any new employees. That's good. That was the good news. The bad news is the budget was $27,851,000, and now it's $52,143,000. So I'll go over just briefly what the big increases were, primarily in our health insurance pools. Primarily because this is the way we're starting to address some of the uninsured in our state. The regular health insurance pool is capped as far as the health insurers at $6 million a year. Most they can pay is 12. That went up a little bit, but the big bounce, of course, came in the new program that we implemented as a small employer health reinsurance pool. That's primarily insurance premiums. It's a new program. There's an exception request of $17,349,380. Basically, that's just to fund that new program. And so if there's any questions on that, we'd read the budget to you about the details on that one. That's where the increases lie, and that's the budget.
Any discussion on the insurance department? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 44, the Insurance Department Budget, pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. That section is passed. Section 45, Department of Transportation. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 45, Department of Transportation, and turn it over to Senator Job for explanation.
Senator Job.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The changes we made in this budget were we added $50,000 and required a report on a list of specific projects that would reduce accident rates on I-80. That piece of highway or interstate highway in our state received a lot of attention as far as the accidents and how our citizens who are in passenger vehicles are getting intimidated on that road. So we asked the department to do a study and figure out how they could reduce accidents there. We reduced the budget by $260,000 for aircraft operations, and we did that simply because we thought that there was more money there than they needed. And then we added a footnote to the commission on the road construction specifying that $3 million of the $200 million be utilized for roto-milled materials for county road dust mitigation and $7 million go into the industrial road program account. Mr. Chairman, there is $200 million for building highways. There was $175 million in the standard budget. The request was for an additional $145.4 million. We reduced that to $25 and made it $200 million. There is also $12,030,000 in here for WildLink when we were talking about the millions that are going into that. Again, this is a project where money is in various places, and to get a comprehensive look, you have to try to pull all that together. And then there is a total of $611,924 in here for IT purchases. And they have the IFTA software and the International Registration Program that needs some new needs upgrading in their software and their hardware. And the IFTA program is where we collect $50 million in fuel taxes from other states, and so it's fairly important that we keep track of that money. So with that, I would answer any questions.
Any discussion on the Department of Transportation budget? Senator Johnson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a simple question. Is the industrial road program being used in all of the funds expended?
Anyone wish to address that question, or are there any other questions as they look for that? Senator Fecht.
Mr. Chairman, I know we already covered this subject, but under Governor's Office, Emergency Management, Homeland Security, I thought there was money in there also for WildLink, and I didn't write down the amount. Does somebody know the amount that was there? $9 million?
Okay. Anyone wish to address those? Mr. President.
Yeah. Continuing on WildLink, if you read the original proposal for WildLink, the towers were supposed to be contributed by WIDOT, that they volunteered their towers, and the statement was made that they would not have to build any more towers because WildLink had a plethora of towers. Do they still have all the towers that they promised, or are we building towers for these Hummers?
Further discussion. Senator Job.
Mr. Chairman, I knew when I was going through this budget last night, I wish I would have traded somebody. But I would have even paid money. But I will have to get back on the industrial roads and if we're building towers.
Okay, any further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, that tower issue is interesting because we discussed that when the Wildlink budget came up in the governor's office. And I remember it like the president did, that we were going to have a statewide coverage. We were going to be used some of the YDOT facilities. Thank you. And then there was discussion, well, we do need to make sure that the tower sites are compatible. And I've asked that question, and I've asked it principally not in the YDOT context, but in the Department of Homeland Security. And frankly, I'm not getting a good answer to that. They do say that there are some holes that they have to be filled in. They have different distances for their respective radios and things like that. But I'm still perplexed on that, and I don't know the answer. We've asked them, and it's a lot of money going out there. I hope maybe we're going to have a tower every mile. I don't know.
Other discussion on the Department of Transportation budget. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I keep getting told when I'm in arguments with some members of the JSC, among others, that the state only provides 1/8 of the funding for DOT, and that the rest is provided by the feds. And looking at this, that does not seem to be the case. And I was wondering, are there other federal funds that are not reflected in this budget, and would we know how much those are? Or how would we know how much those are?
Any further discussion, or would anyone like to address that question? Senator Von Flatern.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I can tell you that what I don't see in here is about $235 million a year, give or take $10 million, from the federal highways, funds that come back to us. So if their total budget in here is about $397, which you got to remember $200 million wasn't there just a couple of years ago. So we had approximately 85-15 split that the good senator from Sheridan has mentioned. Today it's dropping down to, it's getting in the area of 50-50 or 60-40.
Okay. Further discussion of this Department of Transportation budget. Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 45, Department of Transportation budget, pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed, nay. That budget passes. We're now Section 48, Department of Health. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 48, Department of Health. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll recall that I provided a handout that went over the Department of Health's growth over the last biennium, and it was one of the first ones we provided. And you'll recall that substantial increases that were in employment. And we've got about, my recollection is about 15 new jobs full-time and about 12 part-time. And most of those were resulted of legislation that we've adopted. Today I handed out to you a document that says Wyoming Department of Health, their biennial budget package. And in that, they've sort of go over their request. Now, not all of these were necessarily approved, but generally it actually does. If you look at page 4 of the document, you have the funding that was approved by the governor with new funding requests of $15 million, reversions of $41 million. So they have a summary on that. On the beginning of page 5, there is a funding by source. If you want to see how they break it down in terms of general fund, federal funds, and other funds, so this is the way they keep track of their appropriations by project matter, project item. Then you turn over to page 8, there is a summary by series, so you can look at the 100 series, personal services, 200 support services, and you can see the total new funding that by sources there. Then you take a look at page 10, you get the exception budget request detail, and that would take you through every single exception budget showing the agency request, the governor action, and the governor recs. They did have not updated it for the JAC recs. The changes I'll go over in a moment. Then you go over to page 14, and now they have the again the request approved by the governor. This would be in the that's not redundant. Actually, may have some redundant, some duplication here. On page 18, you have the 900 series analysis. So it's a breakdown on their expected expenditure by category, where they expect their 900 series dollars to go. And you can kind of get a feel for where what the projects are that are going to give those contract dollars. A large part of what they do is administer contracts to third parties. Then there's major contracts beginning at page 22, again showing who the entities are that they contract with a lot of those federal dollars with, or excuse me, state and federal dollars with. And the last page, 25, is a breakdown of the tobacco fund or the settlement fund commitments out of the tobacco fund. And I think we have actually the whole account in another agency. With respect to the JAC actions, at the cheat sheet, and if you look at the footnotes that we have beginning at page 27, we eliminated a $300,000 request the governor had made for a needs assessment on emergency medical services, hospital preparedness unit. Frankly, we think that if the legislature wants to do that, that they ought to take a look at doing it by a legislative subcommittee. With respect, then we added language to the appropriation for the old Section 317. That's the colorectal cancer program carrying over the for expenditure in the next biennium, $148,000. We added $158,000 to the family treatment court in District 5A. That is the Judge Hartman's court. He wanted to put money into his budget to pick up an employee to do really some of the things that you'd see in a drug court, but also family treatment court. We thought it was worth taking a look at. We funded that position through Department of Health, and we recommend that the Judiciary Committee take a look at that whole expenditure and see where which agencies are spending what dollars on those drug courts and others, and take a look at that in the interim. We added a footnote that the state hospital is to use all of its income for life safety issues. That's a recurring footnote that we have used periodically or from year to year. We have a footnote for the Department of Health to conduct a study on rates paid by the mental health substance abuse, and that generally we're going to we have appropriations out to entities, but the notion is that we ought to fund them at an 85% occupancy, or in essence guarantee that level of occupancy. We added $8.1 million for the developmentally disabled programs. That the governor originally denied that recommendation for the $8.1 million. The groups lobbied pretty hard. The governor came out with a letter, and we suggesting that we needed to appropriate the whole $8.1 million, and arguing the fact that that was mandated by prior legislation that we had adopted. The governor came back, recommended approval, and we agreed. We added $2.8 million for senior centers. The $2.8 million was justified by the senior centers presenting a list of all of the employees they had and what it would take to make their salaries competitive. But the footnote provides that the 2.8 is to be distributed in accordance to the model that we've already put into statute That's an item that was not recommended by the governor, but the JAC approved the $2.8 million. And we continued the footnote providing that the retirement center is to receive and utilize all of its income. With that summary, I'll stand for questions.
Senator Scott, excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, I've got several questions. First one is with regard to the total budget for the Medicaid program, which, of course, one of our really major ones. I think it's on the budget bill in the health care financing line item on line 14 of page 27, but I suspect that the children's health program is in there, too. And I can't find a separation as to how much is the total Medicaid budget, and wondering how that relates to the total Medicaid budget, both federal and general fund for the previous biennium. And Mr. Chairman, one of the reasons I asked the question is that the Health Department came to Committee 10 and reported something I thought I'd never hear, and that was that their Medicaid budget has ceased going up and it even declined slightly in the past year. And when we looked at it, there were actually five quarters in which it had been relatively stable. And I'm wondering what the total budget is and how it compares with the previous biennium. Mr. Chairman, while he's looking for that, I would say that we didn't get clear answers from the Health Department Committee 10 as to why their Medicaid budget was stable, but looking at their annual report and comparing where the expenses were going up and where they weren't, it appears that the majority, probably as much as 80% of the reduction in costs have come through a reduction in the nursing home expenses, that their nursing home population is down. And I think finally, Mr. Chairman, the various efforts we've made over the years to fund the home and community-based waiver program and some other efforts to reduce nursing home populations are in fact starting to pay off. And that's the major source of their cost reductions. A secondary source is that in what I would call the traditional Medicaid program, women and children that where it's a low-income program, with our booming economy, the enrollment is down slightly, and that may be somewhere in the vicinity of 20% of the savings. And then there's some other savings and some increases that sort of offset, Mr. Chairman. But the real question I've got is on the total cost of the Medicaid program, which is a major share of our budget.
Senator Nicholas.
Chairman, let's see if I can do this question justice here. When you look at just the unit that's called healthcare finance, which has DD programs, mandatory services adult, that program cost for the base budget, or let's just say the standard budget is adjusted, which was more than the base budget, was $969 million. They asked for $19 million more. The governor recommended against $7 million. But it went up to $982 million. I do see a $20 million reduction just in the what they call the quality care mandatory services adult, and don't remember that. But I can tell you that, and let me see when we look at. I think that is picks up the lion's share of the items that you've talked about. But the nursing homes, I just don't know, Senator. Well, I'll check into that. But We are hearing anecdotal information that it looks like, and I'll take the example, is with Medicaid deliveries. We understand the numbers are going down. And Medicaid deliveries, I understood, things like that, some of those are going down. We're seeing some changes, and I wish we'd asked it in the context that you did, but we just didn't do it, so I don't. But we can find out more about that.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and my concern there, the Medicaid program is separate program from some of the other things that we lump in with our budget. You're dealing with some particular problems with CMS. Our FMAP percentage, which is the percentage that the feds pay versus us, has gone down to the minimum 50%. So that's going to be stable. I am concerned that the Medicaid budget here may be, frankly, a little overfunded. And I'm afraid if there was a projection that came back from the times when it was rising, that we may well have overfunded this a bit. And that's why I was asking specifically, trying to separate out what's Medicaid from the other things that are in that particular line item. Mr. Chairman, it is heartening to see that that program is under control as far as the costs go, and that the way we're achieving it is a way that improves the services to our senior citizens that typically wind up in the developmental disability people who wind up in the nursing homes. So I'm encouraged. But that is something I would like better figures on. Mr. Chairman, a question on the colorectal program that we enacted last time. I'm unclear what the total budget for the next biennium is and how much of that is dependent on carryover from the current biennium. And, Mr. Chairman, by way of background, what's happened is the Health Department was very slow, in my judgment, unreasonably slow, about starting the implementation of this program. They went through a very lengthy contracting process, which we thought we were going to avoid. As you may recall, the House changed the way we did that to a Medicaid look-alike to try to avoid some of those problems, but it happened anyhow. But they're now up to the point where the number of screenings they're doing on a monthly basis, looking at January's figures, are probably going through 100,000 a month. And I'm frankly afraid that the amount we've appropriated may not be sufficient to keep the program going until we meet again, let alone through a full biennium. But I've had great difficulty deciphering through the budget as to what the budget for the next biennium for that program really is, because it seems to be in several different pieces the way it's come in, and how much of it's dependent on a carryover from this year that I'm a little afraid may not be there.
Any further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, and I'll, my understanding is that the department had been conferring with you and that you are satisfied with their resolution to that, and that's as far as I took it. I thought if they represented that they had come up with a solution that the senator from Casper thought that was good enough for me. If that's not the case, then we need to take a look at it.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my last discussion with them was that I thought that for the full biennium they were going to need a $2.4 million budget to meet the demand, and frankly I think the demand will go up where even that won't cover it. And I don't think that's what the budget is, so I don't know how they got the notion, or the Appropriations Committee got the notion that I was in any way satisfied, but I've had a great deal of difficulty figuring out exactly what was in the program for that, for the colorectal program. I think it's grossly inadequate.
Senator Nicholas.
And Mr. Chairman, what I'd ask, take a look at on page 97 of the budget is a section 317. And what it provides is any unexpended, unobligated monies appropriated are not reverting. And I guess we understood that the dollar amount of that is expected to be in the $148,000 number, and it doesn't take very much convincing for us to conclude that you don't need very much money.
Any further discussion of the Department of Health budget? Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to hear the reasoning behind that in order to have the payment to our residential treatment centers that you have to have 85% utilization rate of 85%. I thought the point of the regional centers that we were trying to set up in the state was so that our smaller communities and different areas of our state could access these services. And I'm just wondering, do you have to have it immediately, or can you build up to it? Or what is it? Is it counterproductive or what? I think it's counterproductive if I'm understanding it, and if I'm not, please let me know why this was put in there.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, there's sort of a nursing home component to the issue of constructing beds. You want to get beds constructed throughout the state. You don't want them all focused in one area. And in essence, what we're saying, if you build these facilities, we'll pay for them to keep them open. And the in order to spread our dollars, in order to make sure that you're not just building more beds than are needed, generally the notion is if we guarantee 85% occupancy, that's enough for them to pay off their buildings or their facilities and enough to... but we're not there to say no matter what you build, we'll pay for. So we're trying to build facilities that are being utilized, and the 85% utilization hits the target.
Any further discussion of the Department of Health? Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, the 15 new full-time positions authorized by JAC, could you give us a breakdown on what those are and where they're at?
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, I will give you that breakdown. It's my understanding that most of those are the roll-in of the positions. There's actually 15 full-time, I think 12 part-time. And it's my understanding those are the roll-ins principally of the bills that we passed. But I'm not certain of that, and I will get an accounting and come back to you on that.
Further discussion. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question that I have is in regard to kind of going back in time a bit. The establishment of a contingency fund that was put aside in order to meet some kind of unanticipated rising costs of Medicaid. Now, it's been said, I think, from a very reliable source that Medicaid costs are down somewhat and certainly leveled out. Question that I have is, does that fund still exist? Does that fund still have money in it? If not, where are those monies have and what would be the future endeavor for such a fund if it, in fact, still exists?
Discussion on that particular topic or something else? Senator Burns.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if he won't answer that question, I got another one for him.
Mr. Chairman, I was doing writing down my notes. Your question is what type of...
excuse me. I'm sorry. Senator Burns has the floor. I recognized him.
No, well, Mr. Chairman, I'll sit down.
He yielded.
Okay,
to
I'm
he
sorry.
He was yielding to me in his answer.
Okay, Senator Nicholas.
Put on the hat.
I apologize, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, writing down, with respect, we reduced the Medicaid contingency in the budget to $20 million, and it's still there. It was about $37 million. That freed up $17 million. When we freed up those dollars, that $17 million was split between the, those were the dollars that went, some of them went into the water fund once and some other areas. But we have left it at $20 million, and the, partly because the department believes that they've got it under control. They really think they can live with that $20 million reserve.
I apologize.
Okay. Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, in the Department of Health biennium budget package revised on page 4, this is more a question of process. Under new funding requests, you have reversions, and you've got $41,517,000 in reversions, and then below that you've got the fact that the governor B-11'd $41,863,000. So my question is, are those two figures in any way related because they're so similar? And if not, where did the money come from in both?
Okay. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, that's a great question, and I couldn't answer it when I looked at it, so I'll find out the answer.
Any other discussion on Department of Health? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion at Section 48, Department of Health Budget, pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. That section is passed. We're now on to Department of Family Services, Section 49, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I move Section 49, Family Services, and that is, I'll turn it over to Senator Townsend for explanation.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Appropriations Committee didn't make any changes in the governor's recommendations, except that we did our own little thing, too. The footnote that we made indicated that we added $407,997 general fund and $35,478 federal funds to provide a 2.5% increase in the allowance for community crisis beds. Now, the governor had denied the agency's exception budget for a 5% increase, but we brought back that at 2.5% rate. Then we also added a footnote delineating cohort here. I got his tongue today. We added the state supplemental income monthly payment amounts in the 09-10 biennium, and those numbers were increased like 20, for example, go through all of them, about $25 for an individual living in one household, and then incrementally came up for different numbers of people in households. And we added that to the Family Services budget, and that left our total appropriation for the Family Services at $284,182,683. That sounds like a lot when you say it slow. They also have a full-time employees of 777 with part-time at 32. I can try to answer some questions.
Any questions on this section of the budget? Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question on the community crisis beds. Does that include, can therapeutic foster homes take part of that? Can that be part of that community crisis beds increase?
Okay. Anyone wish to address that question or pose another one? Any further discussion? Okay, I assume that somebody will get that answer. Mr. President.
The four positions that appropriations added, could you tell me what they're for?
Okay, discussions on the additional positions? Okay, any further discussion on that budget? Some information that folks will need to get. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious if that has a breakout of any information on the juvenile placements, the contracts that the department has with any facilities for juvenile incarceration or juvenile court ordered placements.
Okay, any information on the COP program? Senator Townsend.
Refer to my illustrious chairman, Nicholas.
And he's off the floor right now.
Pardon me?
Okay, there are a few questions that have been posed on the DFS budget. I assume that folks will find the answers and give them to those individuals and perhaps bring them back on second reading. Any other discussions or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion, that Section 49 of the budget, the Department of Family Service budget, pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. That section is passed, and we're now moved on to Section 51, Livestock Board. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 51, Livestock Board. And for an explanation, turn it over to Senator Peterson.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Livestock Board, same number of employees, 19. Total appropriation, $15,623,253. We made two changes to the governor's recs on the Livestock Board. We added $12,000 for trick testing. I won't try to pronounce that, trichomoniasis testing. I'm sure I got that wrong. But anyway, to be fair to the governor, as he came out with his recommendations in November, first part of December, his recommendation was until new rules were established for this type of testing, I recommend denial of the $12,000 in the general fund. Well, we found out in our JAC hearings that the new rules will be in effect by July 1st of this year, 2008. And so this funding will be needed. And so the JAC put the $12,000 back in. The $12,000 will go to lab equipment for finding out these test results in the department's lab. So that's what the $12,000 there is for, and that's why we put it back in. The other notation there on their budget is for the turn to it here. The brucellosis testing. Of course, we're brucellosis free, and they've worked hard in getting us as a state back to that situation. And in the governor's recommendation, he denied the $769,000 from the general fund for the brucellosis testing, and we decided to put that back in. His recommendation was based on the House Bill 54 out of the 2004 session. He recommended approval of the $945,000 in the general fund. But if the new rates are established in a separate bill during the 2008 session, additional funding will be needed to be requested to cover the difference. Therefore, I'm recommending denial of $769,000 in the general fund. And the JAC decided to put that back in based on the formula that the department put together in estimating the number of tests that they will have to perform for the biennium. There is a footnote on this. On page 31, line 18, for the period of beginning July 1st, 2008 and ending June 30, 2010, the department is authorized to provide reimbursements for brucellosis testing in an amount not less than $3.50 per head and not to exceed $8 per head as determined by the Livestock Board. So that's the explanation on that addition that JC put in. And that is the budget. Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for questions.
Any questions on the Livestock Board budget? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 51, the Livestock Board budget, passed Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. That budget is passed, and we're now down to Section 55, Oil and Gas Commission. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I move Section 55, Oil and Gas Commission. The Oil and Gas Commission is a self-funded agency in that it pays for all of its operations out of assessments and taxes collected independently of the general fund. The agency had requested, the governor had recommended all of its requests except for about $58,000 for printers, smart board, and some conferencing and switching. After hearing the from the agency, it was our conclusion that those requests ought to be granted, that they are passed on to the users, and the users but it's passed on, utilized by folks that need their services, and it provides better services to those that are receiving them, and we went ahead and recommended approval.
Any questions on the commission budget? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion that Section 55 Oil and Gas Commission budget pass Committee of the Whole, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed, say nay. That section of the budget has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report on the work that we have done on Senate File 1.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion passes. Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read today's action of the Committee of the Whole?
Mr. President, with respect to the budget bill, Senate File 1, the Committee of the Whole took action as follows. Section 1, adopted. The following sections of Section 2 were adopted. Section 001, 002, 003, 004, how about if I just say 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 14, 15, 20, 21, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 29, 37, 39, 40, 41, 42, 44, 45, 48, 49, 51, and 55, Senator Massey, Chairman.
Senator Massey.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I move adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've all heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1B sub 1, further Committee of the Whole action will be continued until the next legislative day. And that's the rule that deals with the budget. We do. All right. We've got standing committee reports. Wow. Could we have reports from standing committees?
February the 18th, 2008. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 70, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Job, Myers, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 18th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 47, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Allman, Fecht, Hastert, Landon, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 18th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 85, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Allman, Fecht, Hastert, Landon, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman. Senate File 85, healthcare reform pilot project just read in, does have an appropriation. I ask to be re-referred to committee number 2.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Reading and introduction of House bills. House Bill 54, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 54, Natural Gas Valuation, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue, passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 54 is assigned to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 91, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 91, Streamlined Sales and Use Tax, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, and Act relating to Sales and Use Tax, Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 91 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 5, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 5, Fuel Tax Distribution, sponsored by the Travel Committee, an act relating to gasoline tax distribution. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 5 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 6, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 6, State Veterans Museum, sponsored by the Travel Committee. An act relating to the State Veterans Museum. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 6 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 7, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 7, Real Estate Commission Authority, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to the Real Estate Commission. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 7 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 16, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 16, Special Districts Election, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to special districts. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 16 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 21, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 21, Commercial Vehicle Fees, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to commercial vehicles. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 55, noes 3, conflict 2.
House Bill 21 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 66, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 66, Revolving Loan Fund Accounts, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to intergovernmental corporation. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill 66 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears this desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate be adjourned until 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 19.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet Tuesday, February 19th upon adjournment, and we're going to handle Senate File 93, Child Care Facilities Certification.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 19th, 20 minutes after the lunch recess in S-16, in order to take action on the following bills: Senate File 77, Severance Tax Distribution; Senate File 79, Property Tax Assessment Rate; Senate File 94, Study on Recapture of Value-Added Energy Resources.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will meet immediately on adjournment to continue our work on Senate File 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendments.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m., in S-13 to consider Senate File 26, Business Entities Registered Agents; Senate File 42, Wyoming Court Security Act; and Senate File 97, Government Royalty Revenue Distribution 2.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Transportation Committee number 8 will meet immediately upon adjournment to do Senate File 12, Dispensing Room Products Sold, Senate File 38, People First Language, Senate File 31, Domestic Violence Counseling Period, Senate File 88, Inmate Medical Furlough.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet immediately upon adjournment to take up only Senate File 46, Discharged Water Management. We will not get to Senate File 86 or cake price regulation.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, corporations, your committee number 7 will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m. to take up business entities revisions at Senate File 18 and vacating subdivisions, Senate File 41, 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning up at S-14 at 4 a.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which is 8 a.m. here, where we will take up Senate File 81, Fire Protection District's New Entities, Senate File 87, Capitol Building Restoration, and Senate File 76, Private Roads.
Strikes me as appropriate that the Travel Commission does know, Travel Committee does know what time it is in Hawaii, irrespective of what time it is here, but we won't go there. Further announcements. The motion is that the Senate be adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Senate is adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.